You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lastly on the show today, The Roaring Silence is a book about suicide awareness comprising contributions from 79 artists, writers, poets and a few professionals from all generations and backgrounds around Aotearoa. I spoke to the depot manager, Lynn Lawton, about the book and the project.
Last year we had a number of young people from local high school in the area take their lives. One was just three doors up the road from where we are located here in Devonport. And in the past, we've always had a concern for the whole issue of suicide. In fact, back in 2000, the Deaf Art Space hosted an exhibition to raise awareness of that particular issue. And it looked like it was timely to do the same thing again. But this time we went about it a bit different. We felt we needed to put together some kind of document that began to demystify the whole subject of suicide and inspire conversation about it. And so we emailed or we contacted and put out to the public arena a request for people who had been through that experience or who also may have known someone who has, whether they'd like to contribute something for this book in terms of poetry or art or prose or their story or something else like that. And we were overwhelmed. We had about 100 people submit different things like that, and we put them together into a publication called The Roaring Silence.
And so of those 100, there are 79 contributors in the final product of the book.
Yeah.
How did you go about kind of selecting those submissions?
Well, there were 79, and in the end, there were 79 that actually kind of stayed in the course and finally, after indicating they would be interested in doing something, actually submitted something. So the 79 weren't selected. They were basically anyone who contacted us and provided work like that we put into the book. And there's a section in the book that is quite, let me just say what it's titled, Raw, because it was pretty raw material, and we felt we wanted to still provide a space for it, so we put a separate section in the book and just with an annotation at the beginning to the fact that this is a raw area, so just be aware of the sensitive content to it, of it. And so people, when they approach that section, can choose to skip over it, or else, you know, kind of, you know, be aware that it is just a person's very raw story about their own experience or someone else's.
And this was quite a community-led project. Why is that important?
Well, my experience in working in this area is that people's isolation is one of the critical factors to people finding themselves in a place where they seriously contemplate and actually take their lives. Because, I mean, I've worked with people in this area over a number of years in my previous role as a chaplain in the Royal New Zealand Navy, and we found that if people were in some way approached, were able to begin to disclose at a point that was not too far down the line, then resources could be brought to them, and they could access such resources, and very often it could change the whole course. So to me, isolation is a critical factor in people at times finding themselves at that point of no return.
And I guess suicide is still positioned as this taboo thing that's not talked about enough in New Zealand, even though we have such a high rate of it. Why do you think that is?
Well, New Zealand's one of the few countries in the world, up to recently, where you could not even in the newspaper note that a person had taken their lives, or any information about that, out of fear of copycat. And we've had a situation recently in a district health board in the South Island where Michael King was not provided the opportunity to speak to young people in that area and to provide some kind of input to them because of the view by people down there that this should not happen because copycats would take place. And so that's an example of the way it's been very much cloistered or very much, you know, put into the cupboard out of fear. I think that's a, you know, been one of the key things there. And it's very interesting, if you read the New Zealand Herald today, they have a lead article on the front page about it, and they comment that this very fear has not been substantiated by research that's been done, where there is someone who takes their life, if there's people at sort of a distance around them and they have, you know, not been intimately close with that person, the likelihood of that leading to that person's own suicide is very rare. But when it's within a family whānau group, well, then there's a greater chance because of the emotional impact on that person on them. So I think it's a lack of understanding of just the whole dynamic of suicide, how it happens, why it happens, and what is the nature of the dynamics amongst people when it happens. You know, all those factors have been not really understood because it's been kept hidden and not really researched and explored in a way that could be of advantage and an asset to us.
And so what do you hope people get out of this book, The Roaring Silence?
Okay, well, there's a number of aspects to this book that are critical. The first thing is we recognise it is not appropriate to put people's stories who have, you know, come back from suicide, who have lost someone, without putting some context around it that provides support. And so at the very beginning of the book, we have a series of interviews and items by people who are professionals in this field in terms of help and assistance for people in such a situation, like the Chief Coroner, Judge Neil McLean, Jeff Norcliffe, a GP, Manu Fotu, Suicide Prevention Manager at Waitemata DHB, and myself, who's worked in pastoral care and supported people in that area. So we have some very practical guidelines and ideas for people who have either lost someone or may be contemplating suicide, practical things to help them to get a hold of their situation and steps they might take to assist someone else or themselves. And the second thing is that, talked about community before, Amanda, a community can operate at a number of levels. And I suppose someone picking the book up and reading the story of someone else or a poem or seeing some artwork that resonates with them, maybe they don't realize or feel they're alone still. And that very factor of not being alone, that, you know, this is not something unique to them, may just suddenly be like a moment of light that just pulls them back from that point and begins to see how that person found their way through it, and perhaps something, you know, they might be able to grab a hold of, and it just begins to move them away from that precipice themselves.
Absolutely. And you mentioned those interviews. Can you tell me about some of your other maybe favourite submissions from the book?
There's a beautiful artwork. It's a map of the sea, and it has all sorts of different little annotations across it, like a ship sailing across it saying navigation of need, or it looks like a hurricane, vortex of despair, and then a whale of kindness. So this person, you look at it and you could say, oh, that's exactly where I am. So you could find some sort of resonance with this this map this person has created. And then there's another beautiful artwork by Rod Emerson, who's an editorial cartoonist for the New Zealand Herald. And he has this picture, this little figure wandering around under a storm cloud saying, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, could be a week, could be a month, and lightning and storm under him now, on top of him now. One thing is absolutely guaranteed, the sun will eventually shine. You know, just, you know, six little cartoons like that, you know, tell an amazing story. And then there's this poem here by a person. I stumbled down the stairs in the middle of the night. I mixed up my medicine, three drops of water and a glass of gin. I heard my teeth clenching on the cold of the glass, like someone who drowns, gasping for hope. I'm trapped in a cave of myself, a soldier in a trench deeper than Mariana, fighting with the voices ricocheting inside my mind. I wanted to slip away unnoticed. I grabbed the handle to the door, but I saw happiness at the top of the stairs saying, I'm cold, please come back to bed. And this poetry and the stories of people who have been there and come back from there, or some that just really graphically tell the story of the ache that's still inside them from the loss that, you know, is there from someone that went. So I don't think there's anything else around like it that, you know, brings together so much that is both revealing, giving hope, giving guidelines, and showing that sometimes there are no answers, but, you know, there can be ways out of it.
And where can people find out more or buy the book for themselves?
Okay, the book's available at Whitcool's and some of the other shops, bookshops around town, around the country. And it's, I think it's $32.99, or can be purchased at the Depot Art Space in Devonport.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.